hides each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Yes, he hears me when I call. I know he hears me when I call. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. If you don't know it, the CDC has come out with their latest guidance, and their latest guidance is if you have been immunized for COVID-19, that you no longer need to wear a mask indoors or out. So there will be places that, will have their own guidance that they're going to hold on to, that places that claim to follow the science but don't believe in it. Just be respectful of that, and don't be dogmatic. There'll be places that you go to that will still require you to have a mask. So keep it handy and realize it's for the greater good. Regarding our local fellowship, not everybody here is protected or has confidence that they're protected. We are going to try to protect whoever wants to be protected here. You may or may not know who that is. So before you shake hands with somebody, why don't you ask them first, is it okay to shake hands with you? Because we don't want to put any pressure on anybody. And we want to know who those people are so that we can protect them. Now, if they choose to shake your hand, well, that's on them. And that's where their confidence is. And we'll back them up whichever way they choose to go. But if you are vaccinated, the whole reason for getting the vaccine is so that you won't get COVID. Now, you will hear, because there's so much misinformation out there and partial information, you will hear that some people will still, that have been vaccinated, will still get COVID-19. That is true, that some people will still get a light case of it, but they won't end up in ICU, they won't end up dying, and from everything that we've heard so far, they also won't be contagious. So the same thing's true about the flu vaccine. You can still get the flu. And we, some of us have, but it's not as bad as it would be, and you don't end up being a spreader. So is that clear? We don't want to set up something here where blue-eyed people are here and brown-eyed people are there. But what we're trying to do is what we've been doing all along, right? I mean, some of us maybe never wanted to or needed to wear a mask from the very beginning, but we did it because we're in this together and we're trying to protect one another. But now, the guidance has been changed and there's both faith and scientific evidence that we can turn that corner as well. So just be kind and respectful to your brothers and sisters, and praise the Lord. I can't read my own handwriting. Wow. So I just talked with Brother Henry Hoyer III, and they'll probably be keeping Sister Anna for one more night. It's part of there's a pain management part of this that you have to be trained in how to manage it. And when you're on the pain medication that they give you at first, you don't know that you're going to have pain. In fact, you think, wow, this is easy. I really escaped it. But when that pain comes, it can be horrendous. And the nurse Baker tells me that that what they have to do is train you to stay on a regimen with the pain medication so that you don't take it when you start hurting, because it'll get ahead of you. So you take it when it's scheduled and you know, stay as pain-free as you can. So anyway, we want to just keep our dear sister and brother and their son in prayer. So I saw a picture of it. I don't want to, you know, what we've been preaching, we don't want to advertise for the devil, but we saw a picture, you know, a picture is 1,000 words, saw a picture of the break in her arm, and you actually have 2 bones in your forearm here. You have a radius and an ulna, and it turns out her radius was broken, and so there's 2 bones where there's supposed to be 1, but in her ulna, there's now 3 bones where there was. It was broken in 2 places, so there's 3 bones where there was supposed to be 1. And so she went into surgery yesterday, and they connected all those pieces back together. But now God is our healer, and the healing process is going to set in, and we're just going to keep them in prayer. And they don't want visitors, which is totally understood. We're going to keep them in prayer, and we also want to, you know, even if you aren't physically injured, there's a trauma. Any of us that's ever been in an automobile accident, you know, whether it was something you did or somebody else, it doesn't matter. There's kind of a little bit of a trauma that stays with you as human beings. It has nothing to do with your faith, but as human beings, we can be a little reluctant to get behind the wheel again, or to be a passenger again, you know, and so we don't want that trauma to carry on for our brothers and our sister. We want them to recover as well. So somebody say praise the Lord. Amen, amen. If you wouldn't mind, we are going to read from, now what just happened here? There we go. From John chapter 14, we'll read verses 12 through 14. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Amen. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now, isn't that strange? He's going to, whatever you ask, he's going to do it for you, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Huh. Well, we'll clear up this mystery before the service is over. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We want to title the thought here this morning, Christ the Word, Living in You. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, we don't bring anything of any man-made thing. There's nothing in our hands that we bring except, Lord, ourselves. We surrender ourselves to you. We didn't make ourselves, so we're just giving ourselves back over into the hands of our Creator. Lord, we ask that you'd speak to each and every heart this morning, and I just want to add my faith to the prayers that have gone forth and continue to go forth for our brother and sister Hoyer, and our sister Hoyer in particular, Lord, and just looking for her complete healing and deliverance, and Lord, for the pain to go away, and for their spirits to be lifted. And we join together as a body asking this, Lord, we're just obeying the scripture that we just read. If we ask anything in your name, you said you'd do it. So we're asking this in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in expectation that this will be fulfilled here on the earth as it is in heaven. We believe that you saw this from before the foundation of the world. But you're waiting, Lord, for us to speak on earth what has already been proclaimed in heaven. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, Lord, those that are traveling, to bring them back safely, Lord, and those that are listening in, Lord, that you would bless them, and Father would surely give you praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. 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 You may be seated. So We read also in 1 John, or St. John, the first chapter, very familiar scripture, but I'd like us just to look at it for so that we're all on the same page. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We'll skip down to the 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. And if you don't mind, just to set a little background here for a moment, let's look at what an end-time prophet had to say about what John had spoken about here. In questions and answers, Brother Branham was asked, you know, back in the beginning, that there's the creation of man, and then there's the creation of man. And in chapter 1, God creates man in His own image, and then in chapter 2, God forms a body. And so there's one that was formed, there was one that was created. Was asking, is this two different men, or what is it? Or is Moses just repeating himself? And so as part of the explanation of this, this is what Brother Branham had to say. He says, oh, I got a beautiful picture in my mind now. If you could take a little trip with me. Now remember, prophets, God reveals His word to them in vision. And those visions never fail. And so the word comes to the prophet. And so John wrote what came to him in John chapter 1, just as Moses wrote what came to him. And now this end time prophet is sharing with us what he saw in vision form also. Oh, I got a beautiful picture in my mind now. If you could take a little trip with me, I believe I've talked on it before, but to get this to the place where you'll be sure to see it, now let's take a little trip and go back for a little while. Let's go back 100 million years before there was ever a star, a moon, or anything in the world. Now, there was a time when there wasn't nothing here. It was just all forever and eternity. And all of ever and eternity was God. That's all there was. He was there in the beginning. Now, He was there before the beginning, and He's describing Him being there before the beginning. He says, now let's go out here on the edge of this banister and look over and see these things happen. A prophet has vision. The vision comes to the prophet and he sees what God reveals to him. He says, now no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in bodily form because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. See, all right. Now, no man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared Him, said John. See, but notice now, there's nothing. There's just space. Actually, there's not even space. He's outside of space and time. There's no light. There's no dark. There's no nothing. So what are we looking at? God. Well, I don't see Him. That's right. There's nothing. There's just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's no nothing. It just seems nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space of all places and all times. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He is the beginning of creation. That's God. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing, not a move of an atom in the air, not nothing, not no air, no nothing, but yet God was there. That was God. Now let's watch for a few minutes, and after a while, no man has seen that now. That's the Father. That's God the Father. You cannot see a spirit. Now notice. Then after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form, like a little halo or something. You could only see it by spiritual eyes to look now. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing. So a prophet is explaining to the church what he sees. Watching We're watching what God's doing, and we'll get right down to this question here, and you'll see how he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God. And now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That's what's called by Bible readers logos. In the beginning was the word, logos. Or the anointing. As I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something. So it's God changing his form, or God taking on another form. Developing into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the word of God. Now, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was ever even an Adam or heir to make an Adam. See, Jesus said, "Glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world." He was created Son of God, taking on this form of logos, taking on this form of light. God is light. But it's the same God taking on another form. See, way back in the yonder, now in St. John 1, he said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God unfolding himself down to a human being. Now watch how he did it. Now back there then, when this little halo comes, now we can't see nothing yet. But just by the eyes of just supernatural, we see the halo standing there. Now that's the Son of God, the Logos. Now, I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all eternity. Amen. See, and now, then in his imaginary makeup, he began to think of what things would be. And I can hear him say, "Let there be light." And when he did, an atom bursted and the sun came into existence. She whirled for hundreds of millions of years, forming clinkers and burning and forming like it is today, still burning and still breaking atoms. So here is God creating himself into his own creation and speaking forth and saying, "Let there be." So the Word had taken on flesh in the man Jesus Christ, and the works that were done by him were done while in that physical body of flesh, which we also know as the bridegroom. And he's telling us here in St. John chapter 14 that the works that were done through that body would be done again through those that believe on him and ask in his name. So the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, who is he talking to in John chapter 14 verse 12? You say, "Well, that's easy. He's talking about those that believe on him, and we call them Christians." Well, that certainly is true. But I'd like you to consider another answer to the question that is equally true. What if I were to tell you this morning that he was talking to himself? Ping! "Oh, that's ridiculous, Brother Doug. God talking to himself. He said that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And yet this is one God. This is not two. Recall that Moses told us about the beginning of man in the first creation in the book of Genesis. And we can read this in the fifth chapter, the second verse. Moses tells us, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam." Now, wait a minute. Them and their name. So, them implying more than one, but the name is one. "And called their name Adam." In the day when they, more than one, were created. Now, either this is just confusing, or they are one. They are two individual parts that make up a whole that is one. So we read where Adam named all of the creation, all of the creatures in God's great creation. And Adam saw that there were two of each kind, two of each distinct species. And then Adam began to look at one point in time for his own counterpart, but he found none. And we read where his counterpart existed and was actually there with him at the time that he went on this search, but was hidden from him because she was hidden in him and had to be birthed from him by the Creator, by God. So Adam was put to sleep. However, God managed to do that, and a portion of his flesh was taken from his body, and so it was not a new creation in the sense that God spoke new Adams into existence, but he took something that already existed and formed another body from it, a body for his counterpart. And then the feminine part of Adam, which was in Adam, which was in his heart, was then placed in her in this body that was formed from flesh. And when he was awakened, he found her looking into his eyes. That's, you know, why some women, some families, women are the first ones up and the men are still sleeping. It's, the pattern's repeating here. And when he came out of his sleep, he saw her looking in his eyes, and she had a puzzled look on a puzzled expression on her face, because she initially didn't know who she was. She didn't know where she came from. She didn't know who this guy was that she was looking at by the name of Adam. She didn't know who their creator was. She didn't know what her purpose in being was. She didn't know what God's word had declared already concerning her. So everything that she learned about herself initially, she learned from her husband, who even called her woman. He named her. And she was the mysterious part of Adam, which was now being revealed, which meant that the mystery concerning her was no longer a mystery. Adam told her what her purpose was, where she came from. Actually, I should put it another way. Told him what their purpose was, and that she was part of him. Where she came from, what God had said to them and told them to do here on the earth, and that she was part of him. And we know that all of the animal kingdom came in matching sets, two of each kind. No matter what they try and tell you today, friends, this is God's original thought. Amen. And God hasn't changed it. Amen. They were opposite in sex, but they were of the same species. Do you hear that? They were of the same species. Right. So those today that question their physical and their spiritual identities, they need to hear what God said. Amen. You know, why stop there questioning what sex you are? Why stop there? Why not question also your species? Since it all seems to be a matter of choice after all. So the first book of Moses tells us about the first creation of God. But then it also tells us that there was a fall. And God's rest was interrupted. And God immediately had to go back to work. He didn't even get to rest a full day. And he went back to work and he began to labor to bring forth a second creation, a new creation, foreshadowing through the Old Testament prophets what that creation would look like when it finally took on flesh. And then 4,000 years after this first creation, we saw that the same thing that God did in his first creation, he's doing it again in his second creation, showing us a pattern. As is recorded in the book of Genesis, we see God repeating on Mount Calvary what he did in the Garden of Eden when he put his only begotten to sleep. And the purpose of it was the very same purpose in the Garden of Eden, which was to bring his counterpart out from him, bring this counterpart out into the light, so that she could become his mysterious hidden part now being revealed. So everything that Jesus Christ did in the flesh was by the Word and only by the Word, for he is the Word. And he demonstrated to us the authority of that Word, his authority, the same authority that Adam once had, and he demonstrated to us how Adam was to rule and to reign, not by physical might, not by physical power, but from the realm of faith by the spoken Word. And then he speaks to the hidden part of himself that is now being revealed. And he tells her, you know what? You're going to do the very same works that I did. And that's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to part of himself. So if you read the commentaries, just about unanimously, the writers, the commentators, they say that he was, you know, actually the background for this text is, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient for us. Have I been with you so long? Have I been with you so long? I and my Father are one. Do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And then he begins to tell them what they will do. And of course the commentators say, well, he's just speaking to the apostles there. And so Christ is going to repeat. He's going to do these works now, the very same works in these apostles. And then that's it. So for the rest of us, he's not doing the works. Then why did we ask him to heal? Why did we ask him to deliver? Why don't we ask him to save? He's not doing these things. He only did it in the apostles. Well, we're not saying that. Just some of these things. You're just making that so complicated. In for a penny, in for a pound. Either he was speaking to his church or he wasn't. And if he wasn't speaking to his church, then we're all just bystanders. And he expects us to come in some intellectual manner. And he must have loved them more than us, because he showed himself and revealed himself and proved himself in them and through them. But the rest of us just believe. We know that's not the case, friends. So he's speaking to his bride, who would take on flesh throughout the ages. Now, many writers, as I said, they say, no, he was only speaking those words to his apostles when Thomas asked him, you know, show us the Father. But we know that he was speaking to the apostles. That part is true. And he was speaking to the rest of himself that would be made flesh throughout seven church ages and who would be born by his word by the Spirit. Now, stay with me for a moment, because we're just trying to lay a little bit of background here. As long as we are looking at the ones who will do the same work as some sort of species that's different from him, as long as we are looking at ourselves only as fallen human beings, as long as we believe that we are just human beings that he felt sorry for, but really will never amount to anything, well, then these scriptures will never be manifested in our lives. But we know that the word of the Lord cannot fail. And that all scripture will be and must be fulfilled from cover to cover. And even though Jesus declared these words in no uncertain terms, there are those that can never see this prophecy as being fulfilled through themselves. They can never make that connection. And the reason for this, it's an identity crisis. Even though he's trying to tell them, this is you. And here we are again in the closing out of this great drama of redemption, living in an age that's again showing signs of an identity crisis. There are those that are confused about their identity as being a man or a woman. And then to take it a step further, there are great churches, you know, the daughters of the great whore, who are declaring themselves to be the true church and to have need of nothing. And finally, We have the true church of the living God that is declaring, some in this true church are declaring, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now, you are a sinner, but you are saved by grace. Now, grace is not grace if it doesn't accomplish something. There was a purpose for it. We have some that are saying, you know, I'm just lucky to be saved. Luck doesn't have anything to do with it. But nobody can live the kind of life that's spoken of in the New Testament, except for the disciples, that is. To those that struggle with these words in St. John chapter 14, they hear others declaring, the bride of Christ is doing and will do the greater works. Amen. And they mistakenly think that that's somehow taking Jesus Christ out of the picture. Somehow it's taking something away from him. But friends, we all know that it's all about Jesus Christ. It is, it was, it always will be. And that only the Word can do these works. No man can do these things. Only the Word can do these works. So how do we resolve this apparent contradiction in the human thinking? Well, the answer is simple. When we go back to the pattern and we see what God's great purpose has been since the very beginning. You see, in the beginning, we see that God once dwelt alone. And he did not want to dwell alone. He foreshadowed this to us through the man Adam. And we can see that God foreshadowed his attributes of himself, and that he also wanted his attributes to be known. And we can then begin to see that both the bride and the bridegroom, they were both in Christ Jesus, just as both Adam and Eve were in Adam initially. And that the bride came out of his side on Mount Calvary when he was put to sleep. So the attributes that make up his bride, they would come to the earth over 7 church ages. They would be wrapped initially, all you would see is sinful flesh. But one day they would be word born, or word quickened by his spirit, when the living word of their day came across their path. And then that very same word, that living word, would tell her what her name is, would tell her where she came from, would tell her what her purpose is in being here, would tell her what her eternal purpose is beyond this life, would tell her where she would go when her purpose here is fulfilled, when this chapter is completed. So, in speaking this, Jesus knew that one day she would hear his word and believe. Oh, friends, you realize the confidence that God has in his own word? Oh, we ought to have the same confidence this morning. His word cannot return unto him void, but it will accomplish the very thing that he said, sent it for. He has confidence that when he sends his word, his living word, that it will quicken those to whom it was sent. Not it might, maybe, or, you know, if you just say it in a certain way. No, if it's preached and it's living word, it'll accomplish what it was sent to do. She would one day hear his word and believe by choice. Believe on him that sent him and be born from above by his spirit. And then his word in her would be quickened, and she would become the very manifestation of his word. Thought, word, manifestation. She would become the living word, the written epistle read of all men, the interpretation of his word. He sent his word to accomplish something. He sent his word to be manifested. She would become the manifestation of his word as he brought it forth in and through her. So in other words, she's impregnated by his word, and she would bring forth according to his word. And she gives birth to his word without cessation. I'm not talking about her birth. She gives birth to his word without cessation. Now, her true birth from above is without cessation in the soul, because there's no cessation in the soul. She believes and she's born again by the Spirit. But the other two dimensions of her will experience some emotion. Unless she's dead, of course. So she gives birth to his word without cessation. When you receive the word of God, there's no cessation. You receive it, it's revealed to you. Faith comes, and you believe in the unseen. And you can see it better than what you see in the natural. And it's more real than what you see in the natural. But then that which is unseen becomes seen. It becomes manifested. And it lives out through her. And that's the interpretation of it. That's how you could say this is that. I'm the manifestation of that. You want to know what that means? Here it is. So Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that Christ would have a body here on the earth that would not be the same corporal body of Jesus that ascended, but it would be a body that would consist of many individual members, and this body would be known as the bride body of Christ. Amen. Not some figurative, but a literal body. And she would be birthed, she would come forth over many ages, and this body would yield itself to Christ the Word, who Paul tells us is the head of the body. But what we often fail to recognize is that the whole body is Christ. Amen. Yet there's one head. There's not just a head. Well, we just want to talk about Jesus. Well, now you've got the headless horseman and a head. But the two must be connected. Amen. What purpose would a head serve without a body? Amen. And what kind of a body would it be without a head? So the whole body is Christ. The masculine part of the body is the head. That's the one that speaks. That's the part that gives orders. That's the part that does the thinking. The mind of Christ. The heavenly bridegroom. And the feminine part is the rest of the body that's here on the earth that he's working through. He's working through his body, which you are a member of, in particular, or our members in particular. But she's a part of him. She is the earthly bride, and he's the heavenly bridegroom. So until we can recognize who we truly are in him, friends, we won't do the greater works, or the greater works won't be done through us. So we see him, as we'll look at in services coming, we see him standing in Revelation chapter 10, with one foot on the land, another foot on the sea. And we know that this is not his corporal body coming back to the earth. It's not his corporal body standing on the earth. And yet we know that it is him. And here is where you and I as individuals get hung up sometimes. We have no problem generally believing that the word of God was made flesh 2,000 years ago and then dwelt among us. We also may have no problem accepting and believing that that same word then had preeminence in that particular body of flesh, that particular body of flesh completely surrendered and the word had the preeminence, and that it was God condescending. It was God made flesh and dwelling among us, yet there was still flesh. We probably would have no problem believing that the Lord Jesus could do those very same works again in another body. The problem is the body there's where we struggle. You know, oh, well, perhaps through a prophet, right? Or perhaps in a body that he would just pick up dust and blow into it and then step into it. Yeah, I believe he could do that. But what about in redeemed flesh? We might also have a problem in believing that he could work through us. If we only didn't have a choice. If we were just dust and fallen human beings. Excuse me, not fallen human beings. If we were just dust, he could work through us. But I've done this and I've done that. And I got this flaw and I made that mistake. And I hate it when I do this and I hate it when I do that. Those things are bigger than God. God can't take control of this flesh that he created. Come on, friends. Our problem many times is that we know that we have free moral agency. We know that. And with that free moral agency, we think that we have to do the works that he's talking about. We think he's going to tell us what to do and we'll do it. And he's leaving us on the hook to make it come to pass. But you see, it's not a matter of you doing anything. As we've said over and over and over and over and over again, the theme of this message is, there's your part. Agree with the word. Your part is to say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let your word do what it was sent to do. I surrender. But you see, the word must have a body to work through. And that body this time is made up of many members, not just the head. So you are placed here this morning, friends, for the word to become flesh. For God to be able to work through your flesh in this hour, once again, for God to be able to overcome this world in manifestation, to overcome the devil in this hour, and to ultimately put the devil and death under the feet of Christ the Word, but in a many-membered body. You don't have to figure out how it works. You don't have to reason with it at all. You don't even have to understand. The wonderful thing is, if you'll just take him at his word, he'll help your understanding. You don't have to know when to do it, how to do it. You just have to know to surrender. That's the greatest gift that you have this morning. It's the gift to get yourself out of the way. So your job this morning is to surrender to the unfailing body word of the Son of Man that you're feeding on. That's your job. And the reason why we struggle so much, the reason why we battle so much, is because we look at what we try and we look at how we fail. You're looking at the wrong thing. Jesus said, no flesh will glory. They came to him and said, good master. And then asked a question. He said, there's none good but God. No flesh will glory in his presence. And yet we know that God dwelt in that body. So your job this morning is to surrender to the word. And the word cannot and will not fail when it's surrendered to. Now it won't fail. It cannot and will not fail. It'll just pass you by if you don't surrender to it. But there's nothing wrong with the word, and the word didn't fail. It will not happen where there's no faith. God set it up that way. Have faith. Believe God. So there are individuals all over the globe today that are surrendering to Christ the Word. And the Word is becoming flesh. And he is accomplishing what he said he would do in this last hour. The works of the bridegroom are being repeated in a bride body in this last hour. And Satan is being cast down. And death is coming underneath the feet of the body, of the body of Christ, as the body takes possession of every promised word that Jesus paid for. So we need to get the I can'ts out of our vocabulary, and we need to get the it'll never works out of our vocabulary and replace it with his strength is made perfect in my weakness. His strength is made perfect when I get out of the way. His strength is made perfect when I just say, God, I'm going to let go and let you have your way. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. As long as you see yourself as something separate from Christ the Word, as a different species, in other words, you are defeated. But you must see that you are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, thought of his thought. Hallelujah. If you see others as just making claims based on their own abilities, well, you're missing the picture. You need to first come to the recognition that you were foreknown. Amen. That you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world for a purpose. You weren't chosen to be overcome. Praise the Lord. You were chosen to be blameless and spotless before him in love. Hallelujah. And you are predestinated to an inheritance and to the adoption of children. And you have been made righteous. He has declared you to be righteous. And you've been washed in his blood. You've been washed. That sin has been annihilated. It's been taken from you. You've been redeemed by his love so that you can walk in this word. But you've got to see that yourself. You've got to receive that. You've got to quit condemning yourself. For that condemnation must leave. There is therefore no condemnation. That's why you don't want to go to a church that constantly condemns. What kind of a church is that? Church of Satan. Oh, that's horrible for you to say it. Well, what am I supposed to call it? It's either the church of the living God or it's the church of Satan. There is no door number three. You think Christ is condemning his bride? He came to redeem her. She was already condemned. You have been made priests and kings. You've been called to sit with him in his throne as an overcomer in your day. And to rule and reign with him. Yes. Now, it won't be you that overcomes. It's him in you. Yes. It's that living word. But the key is, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. So you've been placed here in this day as a member of his body. And he is, oh, friends, he's not... Well, I put my name on the book. I joined the fellowship. I got baptized. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now he's going to make me a member of the body. He's not making you a member. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. You already are a member. Well, when did I become a member? Before the foundation of the world. You just didn't know it. You hadn't been quickened yet. So he's not making you a member of the body. You don't join this body, but he places you in this body by the new birth. And then he reveals to you what part of the body that you make up. He reveals to you who you are and who he is, what your name is. Your name is what you're going to accomplish. My name is Overcomer. My name is Beloved. My name is Righteous. We sing that. His name is Righteous, holy and righteous, holy and righteous is he. Well, what's her name? And he called their name Adam. What is he calling your name? What does Christian mean? It means you're part of Christ. There is no other name whereby we must be saved. There's only one name given. And you find yourself identified in that name. Oh, glory to God. Somebody's starting to believe this, I hope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he reveals to you who you are. And I say, thou, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church. He's revealing
to you who he is, and he's revealing to you who you are. Amen? And the gates of hell cannot prevail against that revelation. There's no church that can talk you out of it. There's no church that can talk you into it. He reveals that to you. And then your spirit bears witness, as Paul said, with his spirit, that you are, not you're going to be, but you are sons and daughters of God. So let's just jump to the punchline here. Christ the Word is here. He's on the earth today, just as he said he would be, that he would have preeminence in a body. He's here living in another body. And it's his bride body. So why would we want to just talk about the one piece robe and the guy that wore that 2,000 years ago? And have some kind of a superior thought in our mind that we're just talking about Jesus. The problem is the presence of God is unrecognized by some in this hour. The mighty God is being revealed. But he's come in another form. What if I invited Brother Juan over to my house and I look at Sister Susan and I say, you know, he was such a nice guy, was such a nice guy. You know, I honor his memory. I believe that he was. I totally believe it. Too bad he's not here. You know, Sister Susan, I heard he did this and that, and I heard he stood in a boat one day, and I heard that, you know, he did these other things, and I heard he was a shepherd in Spain, and too bad he's not here, and I just look right through Brother Juan. How would you feel? He'd probably be thinking, hey, dummy, I'm right here. Hello. I said I'd be with you, didn't I?
Yes.
And even more than that, even in you. I said I would teach you whatever you heard. I said I'd walk with you and talk with you. I said that I would comfort you. I said that I would give you, don't take a thought for what you're going to say. I'll give you what to say. I said that I would do these things. I said that I would keep you. For all the Father has given me, they're going to come. I won't lose one. Well, too bad Brother Juan's not here. He sure was a great fella. Let's keep that, Brother Malachi, let's keep that memory alive. You were a nice guy, Brother Juan. You were. I'm just going to believe that you still exist. I don't know where. Out there in the ether wave somewhere? Out there in the clouds? What does it mean? I'm just making this up as I go along here. What does it mean for him to be here? Is he sort of here? Are we imagining that he's here? We're just accepting by faith that he's here. I can see him. Oh, don't say that. That's horrible. Don't say that. Well, I can't help it. I can see him. I'm only telling you what I can see. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's here. So I'm not going to talk to him as if he's not here. Oh, Jesus, that wore the one-piece robe, that walked the shores of Galilee, wherever you're at. I want to talk to you. Too bad you're not here. Oh, wait, that's right. You are here, sort of. Is he sort of here? He's here. It's that real. It's that real. In fact, it's more than that real. I have more confidence that he's here than I actually do that Brother Juan's here.
Amen.
My eyes could be playing tricks on me, but my faith is not playing tricks on me this morning. There's no other explanation for what he's done in my life, what he's doing in my life, what he continues to do in my life. And if this is all just a dream, don't wake me up. If this isn't that, I'll take this until that comes. But this is that. So why is it so hard to believe that that very same word, which is a person, can work through the body that he bought, that he washed, that he paid for, that he cleansed, just as he did through the begotten body that was here on the earth 2,000 years ago, that also had free moral agency, also had a will of its own? Why is it that we limit the Word of God so much in its ability? Thinking we're taking the high road when we do that. Oh, I'm just no good. Is that what he said? That's unbelief. The same word that created all things can't take control of you when you surrender? Can't do what he said he would do regarding you? Why do we focus on the vessel rather than on the word made power? Okay, Brother Doug, I'm hearing you. Now just tell me what I got to do. Tell us what's missing that Christ has yet to add. The answer is only believe. I'm a believer. I always have been a believer. Well, I'm not talking about intellectually. Only believe. Die out to yourself. Die out to what you want to accomplish in this life. And be born from above. Become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Surrender yourself completely to Him. And then believe on Him. And let the Word do the greater works. But I'm supposed to ask for things to be done in His name, Brother Doug. What do I do about that? What do I ask for? That's also not your concern. What your part is to feed on the body word of the Son of Man, and then the Word will be quickened in you, and it'll do the rest. Amen. Get that little book in you. Get this message in you. Eat it. Eat the Word. Friends, if His Spirit is dwelling in you by the new birth, then His Spirit will anoint His Word and you will speak it. And when you speak it, who's the one that's talking? Get your flesh out of the picture. He can speak through a donkey. When the Lord spoke to Balaam out of the mouth of a donkey, do we focus on the donkey or do we focus on the Lord speaking through the donkey? Who did Balaam respond to? God. And he thought as much about God as he did the donkey. If His Spirit is dwelling in you by the new birth, you'll unconsciously live out that word, just as Ruth in the Old Testament did. She didn't say, okay, now I've got to play this part, now I've got to live out that part, now I've got to live out this part. She wasn't even conscious of it. So it's not a matter of you trying. That's why it's so hard to be a Christian. Because it's not hard to be a Christian, it's impossible to be a Christian. It's something that you surrender to, die out, and are born to. And when that happens, You won't take any credit for it because you know it wasn't you. Because you tried. And you made such a mess of things. Well, why is it that I can't stop smoking pot? Why is it that I can't stay in church? Why is it that I can't this and that? Because you're not born again. Oh, that's so mean. It's nice. Because you could still be born again. But as long as those desires are still in you, if that's what you would really rather do than be here, it's because your desires haven't changed. Well, that's not very nice. Look, I'm not going to make it easier for you than it was for me. I had to come to grips with that myself. You look at what you're feeding on, and you know what kind of a life is living in you. It's not a matter of you trying. In fact, your trying will only take you further away. When you try to live out your idea of the word and then expect it to come to pass. That's where all these works movements get into trouble. That's where they all miss it. Well, just tell me what I got to do and I'll do it. Okay, here's the rules. Don't break any of them and you'll be okay. You break one of them and you're out. And we reserve the right to change the rules along the way for everybody we don't like. Yeah. Oh, no, they love me. Really? And put you out of the kingdom? When Paul tells us how to restore a brother that's overcome and won't be restored, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, not the soul. It's so that the soul will be saved. And it works. So the works movement, and there are lots of them, so don't think that we just got... There are lots of them, and it doesn't matter, right? There are lots of... In fact, most of organized religion is works. Except for those that lean so far onto grace that they make grace a disgrace. Well, if I could only do this and not do that, then I'm okay. I guess Jesus didn't need to die. Jesus didn't need to die after all. Not for you anyway. Just a matter of you being a good boy. Or a good girl. Or whatever they're calling them. But you see, if it's something that you do, you're going to be proud. And how will we know when you're proud? You'll look down on everybody else. And you'll constantly find reasons why they shouldn't be part of this church. Because the blood won't atone for them. Are you with me this morning? Well, how will I know, Brother Doug? How will I know what to do? You're only asking that because you're still trying to do it. We are told that the bride body in this last age will have his word and will know what he wants done with it. So your part is to read your Bible, is to pray, is to walk in the Spirit. It's to run every thought, as we've been going through this series here lately, it's to run every thought, it's to run every feeling, every imagination, every, the Lord told me, every direction, everything through the filter of his word. Because his word is what's speaking to you, and he will only speak to you through his word. And the church says, that's the only thing we can trust, is his word. So you must run everything through the filter of his word. And in order to do that, the Word of God must have first place in your life. And you must esteem God's Word above your own thinking. above your friends' thinking, above your dad's thinking, above the church's thinking. You must esteem it above all things, all thoughts, all words. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot take direction from the word and also from your reasoning at the same time, because they will not agree. Not only is the word power, but it's also our protection. The sword of the word then is placed in your mouth. You've eaten it, so now it's in your mouth. The word of God is nigh thee, even on thy lips. And you're living out, you're living in the final act of this great drama. Now this is how God works. And this is how Satan is being cast down. Michael is casting down the accuser of the brethren. Lucifer is being cast down. And he's being cast down by the word made flesh. So you must have more confidence, friends, in the word than you do in your own reasoning, your own abilities. The word must have preeminence. The word must be and is your protection. And it's all that you have need of for this journey. You don't need health food stores. Well, I'm just trusting in God. And the witch is at the health food store. And the wackos that want to take heavy metals out of your feet. Come on. And what other kind of quackers are out there? No, you either put your trust in the word. If you can find it in the word. Heavy metal removal, if you can find that in the word. Look it up in the index. Search your concordance. But what I find, Brother Augie, is thou art the Lord that he heals all my diseases. All. It's not him and my smarty pants thinking. That's why I can take this vaccine and some of you can't. The reason why I can take it is because I believe God sent that wisdom. I believe it. And I'm walking in it. Over 100 million in America have been vaccinated. Oh, but some got blood clots. How do you know they didn't get blood clots because they had COVID? You don't. It's not going to happen to me. Look, I'm trying to help you this morning. If you're trusting in anything else besides him. You say, you're trusting the vaccine? I'm telling you, I'm trusting in him. And I read you what a prophet said about these things. And I bet there's not a person in the building that didn't get a polio vaccine. Does that mean you took the mark? Well, yeah, it's right here. You survived. Well, if I go to a doctor, I'm not trusting in God. Give me a quote for that. Give me a scripture. Actually, I'll go a step further than that. Quit being a healthcare worker. Because you're of the devil. God's not in it. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. Come on, friends. I'm fighting your devil this morning. I trust in him and him alone. My faith, my confidence is completely in him. And I don't put a straitjacket on him and tell him, you can only work this way and you can only work that way. He can work however he wants to, as long as it's according to his word. I say these things this morning, friends, because some people, you know, they go on one extreme or the other. And some people will go on one extreme and say, oh, medicine's of the devil, right? Don't take medicine, even though I'm a healthcare worker. And I'll give it to other people. Don't take medicine because you're not trusting God, right? So you're actually calling me an unbeliever. in your adamant stand, right? But I'm trusting in God. Now, I told you on Wednesday, I tried taking blood pressure medicine that my doctor prescribed. And I felt like a hypocrite because it didn't make me feel very good. And a few times, I almost passed out from taking it. So I thought, you know, I'll just take my chances. I'm trusting in the Lord. I don't have a revelation yet that he's healed me, but I'm trusting in him. I don't have a revelation that I'm walking in the manifestation of it yet, but I'm trusting in him. But I was a little bit of a hypocrite because I kept a little bit of that, and I'd take a little bit before I went to the doctor each time. So he wouldn't bug me. Because I read a quote where it said, if you went to the doctor, do what he said to do. So I was trying to be a halfway believer in that. Kind of halfway believe it. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. At least I can admit it. Don't eat the night before, whether you're getting blood drawn or not, because you want to, you know, breathe in some helium so when you step on the scale, you weigh less. But I had a show down here. I've got a procedure that needs to be done on my eye because I won't go into those details. And I went to the surgeon that's going to do it, and my blood pressure was measured, and it was 155 over 90-something. And they weren't happy about it. And they said, what are you doing about it? And I said, well, you see, it's like this. My doctor said, and this is what happened, and so, and I quit, and I'm just going to diet and exercise and all that. And what does your doctor have to say about that? I don't know, I haven't met her yet. Wait a minute, you just said that my doctor retired, and now I've got a new doctor, but I haven't met her yet. So what did she say about that? Nothing. Listen to me playing with words here. Well, why didn't she say anything about it? Because I haven't met her yet. Okay, well, this is how, Mr. Baker, this is how it's going to go. You're going to make an appointment with your doctor, and you're going to talk to your doctor, because we're not going to operate on you as long as your numbers are like this. And these numbers have been like that for 10 years now. Didn't always have it, but for the last 10 years, right? I never had a good reading in the last 10 years, never. Well, showdown time. Lord, you're my healer. We're preaching this. I've listened to tapes, I've heard over and over and over, your high blood pressure just left you. If you can just believe. I said, okay, Lord, you are my healer. You're my healer. I'm going to confess right now that you've healed my high blood pressure. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to walk in it, right? Meanwhile, I make an appointment, as I was told, because I've got to do what they told me to do. So I make an appointment. I meet my doctor for the first time. And I can also see kind of how it's the grace of God. Because I don't know why, but there's nothing in my record right now. Don't they carry over your records? Nothing in my record. So why are you here this morning? Well, I went to the surgeon, and the surgeon told me, and they measured my blood pressure. And, well, was that a one-off, or is your pressure always like that? And I said, well, you know, it's probably not what a doctor, you know, I'm trying to lay it all down. Probably not what, you know, my other doctor wasn't too happy about it, but I didn't like the medication, and I didn't have confidence in it, not because I don't believe in it. I tried it. It wasn't working for me. So I need to do something. She says, okay, well, let's take your blood pressure. So they took my blood pressure, and it was 130 over 78, right? I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, am I supposed to argue with her now? She says, Mr. Baker, you don't have high blood pressure. She says, I'll tell you what. Just take your blood pressure every day. And then send these readings to me on June 1st which is 15 days before my surgery. And we'll talk then. And of course, they'll talk to the surgeon so that I'm cleared to, you know, especially because of this COVID situation, they don't want people with high blood pressure to go underneath these procedures, right? Well, I knew God had healed me. I knew that. And I was confessing it. And probably if I had still had my old doctor, he would have argued with me and would have said this was a one-off, right? Well, I went home and just to prove that it wasn't a fluke, and I had to prove it to Sister, to Nurse Baker. It was 131 over 77, right? Well, I've been taking it every morning since then. You know what it was this morning? 118 over 78. You can't manufacture that. That's supernatural. He's my healer. He's my healer. He's my healer. Now, I'll say that with, I should have continued taking that medication if I didn't have the revelation that I was, and I'll tell you, that was a weak point in my case, but His grace is sufficient. Thankful for that. Amen. Meanwhile, the eye that I'm supposed to have surgery on is getting better too. He's my healer. My confidence is in Him. His word is my protection. And it's all that I have need of for this journey is His word. Friends, we have been equipped with the full word in this hour. We don't just have a partial word. We have the full word. Once again, the full word is here in the end time. And the word is here to defeat our final enemy, which is death itself. You say, well, death is defeated. Yes, but the scripture also tells us that it hasn't been put under His feet yet because it's serving a purpose. But it will be. And whose His feet? His feet are part of a body. Brother Baker, why are you so rude when you bring these things? I need to shake you up. I need to shake you up. Because you're either going to have confidence in Him or you aren't. If you're putting confidence in your ability to figure all this stuff out, your confidence is not in Him. And if you're looking at other people, I'll get it right this time, Fernando. Brother Fernando got the vaccine. He's an unbeliever, right? Well, I guess you think that you're something special because you didn't. And so you're better than him and you're trusting in God more than him. Listen, friends. Listen, Mr. Spiritual, Mrs. Spiritual. I'd like to invite you over tonight to drink some mud water. That be okay? There's some roadkill that we're going to have too. Just believe. Would you drink out of a mud hole? I bet there's not a person in the building here this morning would drink out of a mud hole. Why? Because you don't have to. How many people here wear some kind of corrective something for their eyes? You unbeliever. You should walk around, you should go around running into doors. You should do like I did because of my pride when I was younger, because all I got was these military style glasses with the little diamonds on them, no matter what. And I don't want to be a dork. So I went around nearsighted, and half the people thought I was stuck up. I waved at you. You didn't wave back. You did? I didn't see people. I couldn't tell. It's blurry. Well, God's my healer, so I'm not going to wear glasses. You're not very smart.
you're not very intelligent. If something exists and you haven't walked into the manifestation, then wear the dumb glasses, okay? Amen. Put them on. Doesn't make you an unbeliever.
That's right.
If your chemicals are out of balance, take the chemicals. Doesn't make you an unbeliever. If your blood sugar is off balance, take the insulin. Doesn't make you an unbeliever. But trust God. He's the only healer that there is. Now we are, I say all of this to bring a point here. We are walking into the time where we're just going to speak.
Amen. Amen.
But until we're there, let's don't make fools out of ourselves. Make ourselves odd. When that faith drops in your heart, friends, it dropped in my heart. When it dropped in my heart, God is my healer. And I started thanking him for it, for my blood pressure. I didn't go and measure it right away. I just started thanking him for it. I knew that I'm taking him at his word, and I knew that it's done. I knew that. But until you know that, I can't tell you how many people I prayed for with blood sugar problems. Well, here's the other part of it, okay? As long as I'm way off my notes, let's just keep on going here, okay? I got a blood sugar problem. I don't. But let's say that I have a blood sugar problem. And if you do, you're not a bad person. You didn't choose that, right? But let's say I got a blood sugar problem. And I go out and I try to keep up with this guy over here that can eat a whole pie and not have a blood sugar problem. Truth. He used to be able to do it. And then I say, well, I'm not going to take insulin because I'm just believing. You see how screwed up that is? If you were believing, you wouldn't be eating that pie. You're just making an excuse for living like a pig. Yeah, that's right. Can't tell you how many times I've seen that. Well, I'm just believing. We're living in Laodicea. We are kids in a candy store without adult supervision. And that's something, that's the hardest, one of the hardest things to overcome here in Laodicea. You can eat whatever you want. Does that mean you should? It's actually too much that's killing us. I saw something one time where, I'm way off the notes, but we'll come back here in just a second. I saw something one time that said, you know, the Italians drink so much red wine every day, and they have hardly any heart attacks, right? And we're told as Americans, it's drinking too much red wine is what causes heart attacks. Well, they do it. And it doesn't cause heart attacks, you know. Well, it's eating too much carbs. That's what causes it. Well, most of Asia lives on rice. That's their main staple, which is, you know, carbohydrates. Now, of course, theirs isn't highly refined and whatever, but you get the point. So they can do that, and their rate of heart attack is a lot lower than us, right? Another one, you know, another nation, they drink all this coffee and it's not killing them. And another one, all this, you know, whatever it might be. So they go down the list of all the things, each and every one of these things that's supposedly, that's what's killing us here in America, right? And the conclusion at the very end of it is, I guess it's speaking English that's killing us. Because all these other nations are doing all these other things. It's actually the fact that we're doing, they may be doing these things in part, we're doing all these things in overabundance. So, part of overcoming is pushing away from the table. How dare you say that? Well, I've been pushing away from the table for 6 weeks now, and I've lost 13 pounds. My wife used to tell me, I just can't. It's just, I just can't. Sorry, honey, I don't mean to pick on you this morning, but I just can't help it. I just can't. And I said, okay, so how many fat people have you seen at the concentration camps? Have you ever seen somebody walk out of a concentration camp that's overweight? Of course not. Why? Because they're eating less than their body is burning. This is simple. Follow the science. Why is there so many diets? You know what the diet is? Quit eating. It's not that simple. Try it. Eat less than you burn. How many knows that's true? It's a law. Well, I'm different. You sure are. And not just in that way. These are laws. If you follow the law, you should expect the results. Right? We know that there's certain steps that have to be taken a lot of times to break cycles and get your body, to where the insulin isn't going up and down and get your body free of the highly refined stuff so that you can start to, burn that weight off. We understand that, but it's all predictable. It's all science. It's all governed by laws. It can be done. Right? I'm saying this for a reason, friends. Because Laodicea is just full of excuses. Well, I didn't overcome because of this. I didn't overcome because of that. You have so much to overcome in this hour. But you say, well, now you're putting it back on works. And you said it didn't have anything to do with works. No, I'm putting it back on character. Right? Jesus sanctified himself for our sakes. So there's a lot of things that he could have done that he didn't. Because it wouldn't have helped us. Right? Character will be demonstrated. It will be lived out. Right? And it's all according to the word. You put that word first in your life. Oh my. Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
We're in a battle.
Yes, we are.
This isn't easy. Of course not. It's a battle. But what are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? If the enemy can pull you off the word and get you debating the word, then you'll be defenseless against him. So you need to recognize who you are, what your position is in him, in order to play out the part for your day. So let's take courtship for an example. We'll pull over here in just a moment. We teach that two individuals, male and female, that are courting but are not married, we teach that they shouldn't be alone together, right? And this is the wisdom of the Lord. And it's for our protection. You don't take your car, you don't go down to a dealership and take the car home with you and eat cheeseburgers in it or whatever, right? You don't own it. So you take that car for a spin, but you don't do it alone. You do it with the salesman. So if you're a born-again believer, there's no possibility
of you falling into temptation and then giving yourself over to temptation if there's always witnesses? And the devil will come along and say, well, okay, I can see where some might not be trustworthy, but not you. Besides, that's too restrictive. It's too hard. You know what? You should resent even the implication that you might do something improper. Well, I forgot about the halo hanging over you. Your church is just a bunch of old fogies. Besides, you're a Christian, so you can now trust your flesh. Those thoughts need to be run through the filter of the Word. And then sent back to the pits of hell where they came from. For a sister, her entire life could be ruined based on hearsay. Doesn't matter whether something happened or not. But it could be so easily avoided. You know, it wasn't even until this last century that courtship turned into something else, which is called dating, which is something that no longer requires chaperones. And the fact that it's called by a different name is a clue. If it's called by a different name, it's something different. And look at what it's resulted from. Well, look what's resulted from it. If you can't wait, then get married. We're not like the Sodomites. We are the standard. And we gladly bear the standard for the kingdom of God's sake. And we recognize the immense honor that's been bestowed upon us to be the Word made flesh. The standard on display in this hour. Men should never be alone with a woman that's not their wives. Their wife. Not wives. Poor guy. It's the protection of the Word. Avoid even the appearance of evil. Well, my flesh is different. Really? Then you probably won't enjoy marriage then, if your flesh is different. Or you're headed for a fall. Listen, friends, if you want to live like those that live in Sodom, then you'd be best to just move over to Sodom. Right? Not sit here and kick against what's being preached. But you won't live like a Sodomite here. Because the Word prevails. And the Word prevails over reasoning. And especially in the house of the Lord. So the Word will have preeminence, but it starts in a local body. So if you want to live by reasoning, if your pride won't allow you to humble yourself to the Word, then you won't be happy here. You'll find other things that you fight against, and then you'll try to discuss it with others because you're unhappy. The pattern just repeats. People that go from church to church to church. How does it always end? Why is it that it's always somebody else's fault? Just admit you're not happy there. That's okay. Go live in Sodom then. Or go move to a church that has their foot halfway into Sodom. If you'd rather live in Sodom this morning, just let me know. I'll hire a moving van. I'll help pack you up. And I'll help you to move to some place where you'll be more comfortable. But you're going to have to buy your own marijuana with your stimulus check. I won't do that for you. But as for the rest of us, we'll live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But we put His Word first. Amen. I believe I'm speaking to believers here this morning. This Word is our final authority. Amen. And we have confidence in this Word to see us through. Brother Andy, we're not missing anything here. If we look around and say, well, Brother Doug, he's not of this caliber. Brother Andy, he's not of that caliber. And Brother Eli, he's not of this caliber. Carnal, carnal, carnal. Yeah, right. Yeah. Our confidence is in Him, not in the flesh, not in the vessels. Our confidence is in Him. And if you're part of a church that puts the Word of God first, you're part of an overcoming church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This Word is our final authority, and we overcome by the Word of our testimony and by the life of the blood of the Lamb. And the church says, so everything that we do should be prefaced with, what is my motive? What is my objective? Why is it that I'm doing this? If we're doing it because we have to have our own way, or if we're doing it because we have to be different, if it's a big deal to not do something, then, or if it's a big deal to do something, then we need to examine our motives and examine our objectives, because something isn't right. And we will never know what He wants done with His Word as long as reasoning gets in the way and we cannot get neutral on the matter. Now, I just got to backtrack here for just a moment, and please give me some grace here for just a moment. Whether you get vaccinated or not means nothing, okay? If you don't get vaccinated and you have your reasons, that's fine. If you do get vaccinated and you have your reasons, that's fine, right? The point is, don't look differently at somebody, right? But whatever you do, make sure you're doing it by faith. Not imagined faith. Not made up faith. Right? Make sure you're doing it by faith. So this Word needs to be more than just a book that's on our shelf, or thoughts that we discuss. It must be put into action. And Jesus gave us the pattern. He recognized who He was, and then, as we said before, He sanctified Himself for the sake of others. We need to recognize that the Word is not just for a few of us to manifest, but all of us. There are a people that have been called to live in victory in this last hour. Amen. And there are a people that cannot and will not be defeated in Satan's Eden. And so the only way for that to be is for the Word to have complete and total control. We've been called, friends, to enforce the victory of Christ over the devil in this hour. We are the body that He's chosen to work through. Let me close by reading a statement here from Christ is a Mystery. But I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. Amen, glory. We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price. And raising up the head or the body, the devil can't stand it. That's the reason these ecumenical kingdoms are setting up. That's the reason they're all coming into what they are doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way that he is. His wickedness, his scheme has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ in the headship over his body. Amen. Glory, he says. You think I'm beside myself? I'm not. We've got the devil's answer. Not me that liveth, but Christ the Word living in me. It's not my idea, it's His power. Not my idea, it's His Word. He promised it, and here it is. He said it would be here, and here it is. We got His answer. Christ is risen and has paid the price for our redemption. How many believes that? What God in Christ manifested, He gave that flesh, that and blood, that in the blood might come the life and the flesh be redeemed. That God in this redeemed flesh could manifest His Word for the day as He did in that day. Amen. Listen to that again. That in the blood might come the life and the flesh be redeemed. That God in this redeemed flesh, in that redeemed flesh, that God in that redeemed flesh could manifest His Word for the day, meaning this day, for as He did in that day, glory. So that he can manifest his word as he did in that flesh 2,000 years ago in this flesh. And the church says, he says, let me show you another reason why Satan hates this book of Revelation of Jesus Christ in the church. He knows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. He knows that a whole lot more than do 90% of the theologians. He knows that since God is immutable in his nature, then he is just as immutable in his ways. Thus, Satan knows assuredly that the original church at Pentecost, with the power of God, Mark 16 in action, is the true church that Jesus Christ claims is his own. All else is false. It has to be. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of his word, of God's word, right down to the time that he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Amen. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his works in the future ages. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we will fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and ordinary thinking to make this book real. It's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight, in other words, eagles. It will require the ability to hear from God, my sheep hear my voice. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that's good, but a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and to know. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I might add that Sister Baker's lost more than I have, so. Now she could, and I could, we could both just say, well, I'm believing God's going to take that weight off of us, right? But that wouldn't be real faith. Why wouldn't it be real faith? Because there's nothing in his word that says, well, if you just believe, all fat will leave you. There's, right? But there is scripture about all things in moderation and there's lots of scripture. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And Jesus saying, I sanctify myself for your sake. Paul saying, all things are legal, but all things are not expedient. You mean that cotton candy is not expedient? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're not being insensitive to any battle that anybody's going through. We know a battle is a battle, right? But we have to be armed with God's word. And we have to work according to God's word and according to his principles if we are to overcome, right? We have to resist the devil. And we're told that he will flee. But how do we resist him? By staying with that word. Amen. By doing what we know to do. Amen. Right? And trusting God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. His word in a living body. Christ the word living in you. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we know, Lord, that sometimes the word can be kind of chopped up. It can be kind of cutting, but we also are assured, Lord, that your motive for cutting is to remove things that are not word. It's to remove things that hinder us. It's to remove things that get in the way. And we thank you for that, Lord. Every service that we come to, it's taking place. Lord, every time that I get alone with you and I begin to study and meditate and allow you to speak to me and to lead me. And Lord, you're opening the eyes of my understanding. You're showing me, Lord, things that I haven't seen before. And I have to be willing to let go of maybe something that I once thought I understood. I must be willing to let go of that to obtain that more perfect understanding. To let your word come in and replace that which was maybe just a notion in my life or an intellectual faith. And we realize we all come that way, Lord. But what's different is when you reveal your word to us, we're excited about it. We're zealous. And we zealously repent of prior thinking that wasn't your perfect thought on things. And instead, Lord, we embrace your perfect word, your perfect will. And we thank you for that, Lord. If you don't reveal things to us, then how are we any different from anyone else? How could we live any higher? We can't live any higher than we're taught. Which means we can't live any higher than the word that we're given. And Lord, you're still opening your word, you're still revealing it to us. We fully recognize that we have a full storehouse here, but what good is a storehouse if we don't go in and partake from that storehouse in due season and allow you to quicken the portion that we have need of by your Spirit? We believe that it's you leading us and guiding us in what to bring out. We believe that it's you quickening it. We believe that it's you teaching it to us. We believe that it's you then quickening it, making it live in us. And all glory goes to you. That you would be glorified here on earth as you are in heaven. Father, as we bow our heads before you, we just want to take your word and your word alone. Help us, Lord. If we've taken any of this personal, Lord, in regards to what your word says versus what we think or what we're accustomed to or patterns that we've had, forgive us this morning, Lord. We know that we all, every one of us, have tried our best and walking in what we thought was the best thing, but then you show us a more perfect way when you bring your word across our path. And you do it, Lord, not to berate us, but you do it to take us up higher and so that your word can be manifested and lived out. Lord, if there's a people on the face of the earth that ought to know your word, it's your church. It's your bride body that's on the earth in this hour, and you are your word. Lord, our desire is to see your thoughts concerning marriage, your thoughts concerning how an employee serves their master, your thoughts on how a Christian is a servant, your thoughts on holiness, your thoughts on what a true church is. All of these things, Lord. Our desire is to surrender to you and to let your thoughts be made manifest in this hour. That's your desire. Lord, there's no way that you could judge Sodom if you didn't first have an Abraham and a Sarah that were living on another plane that you then visited and revealed yourself to. If there was no truth, you would just smite the earth with a curse. But you sent Elijah the prophet first to turn our hearts back to the original faith that was once delivered to the saints, to the faith of the apostles. Lord, our hearts have been turned. And Lord, that's a standard that's been raised up. And we know that the Word of God will judge. And that judgment starts in the house of the Lord, but the Word of God will judge, and that there's no other higher standard. And so, Lord, if you didn't manifest your Word, if you didn't reveal your Word, then how could you judge this wicked and adulterous generation? There can't be judgment without mercy first. And we know that this is the tender hand of Jehovah. Lord, we don't hold this word as a weapon to strike down a brother or a sister. That's the furthest thing from our minds. This word is to go against our enemy, and there's no flesh that's our enemy. We battle against spirits and powers and principalities from on high. We know that it's the devil and his angels that are trying to reason, trying to put thoughts, memories, imaginations, anything that, and then have it exalt itself above your word. But your word is the answer. And your word sets us free. And we're so thankful for that this morning. Father, I pray that you move upon each and every heart. I pray that each one of us would be challenged, Lord, to allow your word to discern our thoughts and discern our hearts. And show us, Lord, if there's any areas in our lives that we haven't surrendered to you and we're not allowing your word to have the preeminence. It is all about you. And you will receive all the honor and the glory, but you're here right now. And we want to magnify you in your present, your presence and your present manifestation. Father, I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here under the sound of our voice that's either listening in or will be listening in that hasn't completely surrendered to you, maybe they hear your call, maybe they hear your direction, maybe they want to surrender, but maybe they haven't completely surrendered yet. And because of that, they find this walk a difficult one. Lord, may they surrender that last bit that they haven't let go of yet and just allow you to have the complete preeminence this morning. And Lord, the peace that passes all understanding will come. The weight will be lifted from their shoulders, the weight of thinking that they have to do something, that they have to make something happen, instead of recognizing that you've done the whole work and that we just need to surrender to you and let your word and your will have its way in our lives. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? I pray the balm of your Spirit would move over each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that there not be anyone leave that's offended by your word. Anyone leaves that, Lord, that's upset because your word cut into an area in their life that needed to be cut into. But may we recognize, Lord, that as many as you love, you chasten, you rebuke. And the purpose of it, Lord, is to cut away things that are holding us back, to set us free so that we can walk as sons and daughters of God in Satan's Eden and not be overcome, but to be manifested, be your manifested thoughts living in this hour. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, anyone this morning in this building or elsewhere, wonder if you want to lift your hand to him and say, Lord, I just want to surrender more than I have before. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I want to let go. I don't want to think about things. I don't want to worry about things. I don't want to be afraid about anything, but I'm trusting in you completely. And I believe that you're leading me into all truth. And I believe, Lord, that as I as I do what I know that I'm supposed to do, as I read your word, as I spend time with you in prayer, as I spend time, Lord, assembling together with those of like precious faith, Lord, I believe that your word will come to me in due season, and I believe that I don't need to take a thought for my own, but you'll reveal and bring to me the word, the quickened word for my situation in the right time, in the right season. And Lord, I just want to trust you more. I just want to surrender to you more. I want to look away from the anti-type. I want to look away from what the devil's doing, what that Antichrist spirit is doing in this hour. I don't want to focus on that. I want to instead, Lord, I want my focus to be completely on what you're doing. And I want to be ready to hear your word, to hear your command, and to do what you've called me to do. That's my prayer. That's my desire. I lift my hand to you this morning, Lord, in full confidence that the thing that I'm asking for, you will do. Won't you grant it? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. He's alive and well.
He's alive and well, living in me to tell.